Good morning. I would encourage you to open your Bibles, not to the book of Matthew, where I would normally be, but to the book of Acts. It should fall open right to the book of Acts and Matthew, I suppose. Chapter 16 will be in today, which is page 924 in the little black pew Bibles that might be in front of you. If you didn't bring your own Bible or phone. In the bulletins, there's a map of the second missionary journey of Paul. If you want to follow along as we go through this passage, I would encourage you to do that. I'll keep you abreast as to where we are. Pastor Dave has been preaching through the book of Acts, and this week we are going to continue where he left off last week. So we're going to be in the book of Acts. The book of Acts. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The book of Acts is the historical account of the beginning obedience of what we call the Great Commission and the establishment of the church. Acts of the Holy Spirit through God's servants. The title of the message today is God Spreads His Gospel. It is God's truth. It is God's guidance. It is God's growth. It is His compassion and His love and His grace that empowers His servants who spread His gospel and make disciples. It is God using human beings to begin the church, spread the gospel, to make and to grow and strengthen disciples for the glory of the name of Jesus. God uses humans. That is why the book of Acts is important and relevant to us. We are the continuation of the gospel spreading and disciple making began in the early church. Each and every one of us who are Christians, that is our calling. The book of Acts to us reveals to us, the book of Acts reveals to us the glorious empowerment of God. The empowerment of God Almighty upon Jesus' church. God says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God says that. We can learn and apply much truth from our passage, so let's get started. Last week, Pastor Dave finished chapter 15, and in that passage, Paul and Barnabas had no small disagreement, and they parted ways. So Barnabas took Mark with him, and they sailed to the island of Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and that's where we'll pick it up at the end of chapter 15 in verse 40. This is the word of God. "And Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." And then our passage today, starting in 16:1. "Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra. And a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them the observance, the decisions that had been made, reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they passed Mysia, and they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where there was supposed there was a place of prayer going on, and we sat down and spoke to a woman who had come together. One who heard was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul said, what Paul has said. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Let's pray together. Father, we come to this time of worship, and I pray we continue to worship you by humbling our hearts before your word. That what you have in this passage, the truths of this passage, we would accept, Father, and not only accept, but they would become part of us. That our hearts would be transformed by the power of your word, the authority of your word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray you accomplish much today through this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. There are 8 truths we can learn and apply in this passage. But don't worry, I've narrowed them down to 5. First, we must prepare to go. Prepare to go. We gather our team and we get ready. We prepare to go. That's in verses 1-3. Second, we go with truth and we follow Jesus. We go with truth and we follow Jesus. That's verses 4-8. Number 3, we remember the reason and we get to work. We remember the reason and we get to work. Verses 9-12. Number 4, we plant and water, but God gives the growth. We plant and water, but God gives the growth. That's verses 13-14. And lastly, number 5, disciple-making is about relationships. Disciple-making is about relationships, and that's verse 15. So we prepare to go. We go with truth, and we follow Jesus. We remember the reason we went, and we get to work, and we plant, and we water, and God gives the growth, and discipleship-making is about relationships. So first, in verses 1-3, we see the preparation to go. Paul wanted Timothy to go along. Timothy was well spoken of by the brothers that were in the area, and he was a believer, but he was an uncircumcised son of a mixed marriage. The region they were in, he would have been considered an apostate Jew. So look what Paul did in verse 3. Paul circumcised Timothy. What? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dave preached through this very thing, right? In Acts 15:1, the Judaizers saying, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And this created a big to-do, as it should have. That led to what was called the Jerusalem Council. And at that council, it was determined by Holy Spirit-filled men relying on the Word of God that circumcision was not necessary for salvation. And indeed, Peter says in Acts 15:11, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ just as they will. So what's going on here? The council determined correctly that it is by grace alone that one is saved. It is not keeping the law. It is not circumcision. But in our passage, we have Paul, who was present at the council, circumcising Tim. Does one need to be circumcised or not? Yes or no? Absolutely no. There are plenty of places in Scripture where we see this. We need to engage our minds in these passages, engage our brains. We know without any doubt that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, one is saved. And with that truth always at the forefront of our minds, we need to dig a little deeper. Why? Why does Paul circumcise Timothy? It's right here in the passage. Look at it in verse 3 with me. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him. Why? Because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. He circumcised Timothy because of their social culture. Those in that region would have been too offended by Timothy's uncircumcised condition, and that would have interfered with their message. Keep your finger here and flip with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, page 957. Why does Paul circumcise Timothy? Why, if there is no benefit to Timothy in regards to salvation, why did he do it? Did not do it for Timothy's sake, but for the sake of winning some. 1 Corinthians 9:19. This is Paul writing. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not myself being under law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I may save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Paul's heart for the lost determined what preparation they would do before they would leave. Flip back to our passage in Acts. Consider the sacrifice of Timothy. The sacrifice he made in preparation to go. Come with me on a missionary journey, but we'll leave after I circumcise you. Prepare to go. Prepare to go. What sacrifice is too much for me? Missionary journeys that succeed are ones where the missionaries are denying self. We need to be prepared for our missions field right here. And it begins with sacrifice. Our mission field at work, our mission field at school, and our neighbors, and our community right here. What is it we need to sacrifice? Time? Money? Stuff? Comfort? How about sacrifice winning an argument or self? There are other ways for us to be prepared. One other way is to know the gospel and be able to articulate it. Know the gospel and be able to articulate it. In other words, be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is within you. You have hope. You have Christ in you. Be able to tell people how that happened. And do it in gentleness and respect. Another way is to know the people and the culture. Know the people and the culture. Paul did, and he circumcised Timothy. We must get to know the people. We must know their definitions of words, and we need to know their worldview. Don't miss that point in this passage. We need to know the people. We need to know our audience. Their worldview is void of God, and that is their reality. They have no basis of God, and that is their reality. That's what they see the world through. I recommend Adam's class on Wednesday nights to help with this. It's of great help, and it's not too late in the class. In fact, I would say it is just the right time. So, first, we need to be prepared. We need to gather our team and get ready. Only four more. Number two, go with truth and follow Jesus. Go with the truth of God and follow your Lord. If you have the little map that's in the bulletin, this is where we're going to travel from to Derbe and number three, Lystra. We're moving on now. We're going to go through the number four, the region of Galatia, and number five, the region of Maceia. And by the providence of God, we will end up at number six, Troas. Look at the truth they go with. Here is the truth they are going with. Verse 4. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. They went with them. They took with them the decision of the council that you do not need to be circumcised to be saved. That's the truth they went with there. In verse 6, they wanted to speak the word. Speak the word, truth. I'm going with the word of God, the truth. And in verse 10, they concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel, truth. I'm going with truth. We must always go with truth. Truth, God's truth, absolute truth. And we follow Jesus. Verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Now watch God guide their journey. Verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and of Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. They were going in one direction, and God forbid it. So they went through number 4 on the map, the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They followed Jesus. So they moved on to number 5, Maceia. I'm saying it different every third time I'm saying it, but they went through there in verse 7. I'll just spell it, M-Y-S-I-A. That's why they went, though, because God forbid them to go anywhere else. And when they were there in verse 7, and when they had come up to Maceia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Maceia, they went down to Troas. Jesus said no. Jesus said no. He forbid it. He did not allow them to go where they were headed. Instead, they ended up exactly where he wanted them. Number 6 on your map, Troas. Troas. God's timing. God's location. It's all about following Jesus. Shame on us if we don't believe God is in control. God's timing. Ask Bobby about God's timing. God fired off a volcano to hold her up. Ask any of the 11 who went on to the first Liberia trip. God delayed us a day. That was God. And when you ask us, ask Robin who went ahead, what happened, what God did the night we were supposed to be there and we didn't make it. The sovereignty of God. So we must go prepared. We must prepare to go. We must go with truth and follow Jesus. And number three, remember the reason and get to work. This is verses 9 through 12. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want you to notice the pronoun change in verse 10. It goes from they to we. This has become personal. We and us. Paul had a vision of a man urging him to come to Macedonia and help them. Come help us. And we discussed it, and we were united in spirit, and we were united in love and wanted to help those in need. And we concluded that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Brothers and sisters, the reason we go is because they need help. We need to stop seeing the lost as adversaries. We need to see them through the lens of the gospel. They are lost sinners destined for hell. And but for the grace of God, so would I be too. They need help, not condemnation. They need the gospel. And when we live in gospel reality and we see their need for help, then we get to work. Verse 10, middle of the verse. Immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia. Verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Thamasrace, and following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we remained in the city some days. They heard the plea for help, and they went. They sailed over 150 miles, stopping in two port cities along the way, but they went and they got to work. So first, we prepare to go. We must go with truth and follow Jesus. We remember they need help and we go to work. And four, we plant and we water and God gives the growth. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. They spoke. Paul spoke. No doubt in my mind, Paul was speaking pure gospel truth. Paul spread the seed and watered the seed, but it was God who gave the growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, Paul writes this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. All glory goes to God. We plant and we water and we plant and we water and we plant and we water faithfully, but it is God who gives the growth. Brothers and sisters, this is why we pray. We pray. We plant and we water and we pray. We pray for God to pour out his grace into their lives. We pray for the Holy Spirit to pierce the darkness of deception with the light of truth. We pray for the Holy Spirit to soften hearts and reveal sin. We pray for the power in the gospel to save, to do just that, save lost souls. Before the service, when you see us praying up here, that's what we're doing. That is what we're praying. We plead with our Father to grow, to save, and to sanctify, to use Country Bible Church to help those in need. You know, and I would invite you when you see us up here in your seat, do the same thing. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for those that are coming through the door that may not know Christ. Join us and prepare your heart. Lastly, see, that wasn't so bad. Number 5, disciple making is about relationships. Verse 15, and after she was baptized in her household as well. What an amazing testimony of the power of the gospel and the grace of our God. She was baptized in her household as well. Oh, may God use us in that manner. Discipleship making is about relationships. Look at it with me. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Can you imagine the conversation and the joy in that house that night? The encouragement as burdens were shared and joys were celebrated. Relationship building is necessary for a healthy disciple. Together as a family, we grow in Christ. If you don't have this in your life, then start by being a part of someone else's life. Don't wait for someone to come to you. You go to someone else. Get to know each other. Come to discipleship hour. I don't mean to be harsh. But if you are not there now, how can you know what's going on in your brother and sister's lives? How can you pray for them? How can you encourage them? If you're not going now, how can your brothers and sisters know what's going on in your life? We long to share your burdens and your joys, and pray and celebrate with you. This is where we do share burdens. This is where we rejoice with others who are rejoicing. And this is where, brothers and sisters, we experience and grow in faith as we hear the testimonies of each other, of God's answered prayers in our lives and the goodness of God's in our lives. You need to hear and experience that. Discipleship making is about relationships. So I would say, Country Bible Church, God has us in a special kind of preparation right now. We've gone places and we have missionaries abroad, and Robin and Jenny and Kevin and Sherry are headed to Thailand in January, and that is all awesome. Thank God he is using us that way. But God has a special preparation right now. The clear call for Country Bible Church is for us to reach the community around us with the love of Christ for the glory of God. That is the purpose of that building that's over there. That is the purpose of expanding the sanctuary. That is the purpose of the room we plan on doing over there. We're doing it because people need help. People need the gospel. So I don't want to make it an emotional plea, but I would say remember that as we approach Building Fund Sunday in a couple of weeks. It's an opportunity to sacrifice in preparation for what God is doing. Another way God has moved us to prepare for reaching the community is most of you that were here for the last annual meeting, or last members, meeting, we informed that we are going to visit all the members' homes. And we want to do it within the next few months. And when we come in your homes, it's not to see how great a Christian you are or aren't. It's to come into your house to find out where you are spiritually so we can help you grow. If you're up here already, how can we encourage you? How can you serve? What are you going to do? How are you going to be a part of what God is doing in this church to reach the community? That's what that's for. You too, kids. You are expected to be in the meeting. And I'm going to ask you the same questions. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that there is none like you. If a person were to sit down in the wildest imagination and write down what they thought a perfect God would be, it wouldn't even scratch the surface of who you are. There is none like you. And we say thank you. Thank you that you've looked upon your creation and you've loved us and you've sent your Son to reconcile us to you. That because of his perfect life on this earth, the death on the cross where he experienced your righteous judgment in place of us, the reality that he took our sin and he gave us his righteousness, and we come before you now and we call you Almighty God, but we also call you Daddy. You are our Father. And you love your Son Jesus and you love his church. And I do continue to pray for Country Bible Church that you would continue to grace us with truth. We would never stray from it, Father. I pray that you grace us with hearts of love for you. I pray you grace us for hearts for love in those that need help in this community, Father. So we pray you continue to grow us in that way. And I pray that you use your words today in Paul's journey to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.